You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we're going to go to another scripture here. We're going to start here now. And it says in Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." You know, that word follow, you know, if you look in the Greek, that word follow means so as to follow as one always at his side, right? To follow closely, accompany, right? To be always present, to attend to one, right? Wherever he goes. That's what it means. So these signs will follow you. They will be ever present at your side if you believe, trust in, adhere to, and rely upon, and you're baptized. These signs will follow because you're filled with the Holy Ghost, because you're filled with the Paraclete, you're filled with the one who comes alongside, and he administrates the gifts, the nine gifts, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the working of miracles, the gift of healing, all of these things, and comes alongside, and power comes, and you demonstrate the kingdom of God, and you're just like in Isaiah. In Isaiah it says, "The Spirit of God," or "the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek," or the ones that are willing to listen. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." So, you know, God has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted. He didn't go and do it himself. He sent you. Because the Bible says in Mark 16, "And they went everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and confirmed the word with signs following." What were the signs? What were the signs that followed? Right? "He has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set the captives free, and to open the prison to them that are bound." That's what he's done. So, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that trusts in, adheres to, and relies upon shall have salvation in a greater sense," right? Will live in the glory and the presence of God, the overcoming power. That's the word saved. It says, "And these signs shall follow them," or accompany them, "be ever present with them," right? "Who believe, who trust in, adhere to, and rely upon Jesus for their salvation. In my name, they shall cast out devils." And if you look at the word, the Greek word cast out, to cast out, drive out, to send out, with a notion of violence, to drive out, cast out, to cast out, right? Of the word to deprive of the power and influence he exercises on the world. So that's what it is. You cast out any influence out of a person. You drive out any influence out of a person, right? What do? Any influence of the devil. They shall cast out devils. You drive out, you expel, you with violence, rip your hand in and drag them out, anything that opposes itself against the knowledge of God, anything that stops a person from walking in freedom, anything that binds them up, anything that makes them captive, you cast it out with violence. You don't say, "Oh, pretty little devil, will you please go?" No. You use your authority and you use your ability, the power that's with you. It's not about screaming. It's not about screaming. It's about using the intent of your heart and having that, empowered by the power of God. You know, it's not about theatrics. It's not about yelling and screaming and jumping around and doing all the silly things. You can cast devils out of people by just putting your hand on them, say, go in the name of Jesus. You know, it's not about theatrics. You know, we have to get away from this idea. If someone speaks over someone and they yell, and it's from God, let them yell. If someone prays over someone and they whisper, let them whisper, because it's from God. If somebody puts a hand over somebody and prays for them and yells out of their own theatrical loudness, well, just let them grow. Let them grow. Let them learn that it's not about their theatrics. And if somebody whispers, then, you know, well, I don't know. I've never met anybody like that. Most theatrical people want to make a big noise. Now, when I lay my hands on people, I don't have to go into theatrics. I don't have to go into some big, you know, sort of Academy Award sort of thing. I just put my hands on them. The power of God goes over them, and I can smile at them, and demons jump off them. It's so funny. You know, it says here, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So the first thing, the first sign, is they'll cast out devils. Right? They'll speak with new tongues. The second sign, right, is they shall take up serpents. You know, that's a really curly one, they take up serpents. You know, if you look at the Greek in that, to take up serpents is to rise up, elevate, lift up, to rise from the ground, take up stones, you know. So to pick up, it's just a normal Greek word, means to pick up. They shall pick up serpents, right, and it means snake, serpents. You know, so we can get all spiritual about it and say, it's to handle demons. Maybe. The Bible says that you'll step on scorpions and serpents, right? But, you know, we also know that Paul, he got bitten by a snake when he reached into a lump of wood and one attached himself to his hand. He flicked it off. But, you know, he could be possibly just talking about divine protection, although it says, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So maybe it's saying that the natural kingdom, that the animal kingdom won't hurt them, and anything that is formed against them won't hurt them. The Bible says, no weapon formed against us will stand, because we're of the kingdom of God. You know, I started looking at a lot of the testimonies of the first and second century church. They had this guy named Polycarp. He is pretty amazing. He was a disciple of John, the Apostle John, and he died around about the middle of the second century. And they tried to burn him twice, and they couldn't burn him. So they put stakes around him and, you know, lit a fire and tied him to a stake, and he wouldn't burn. And they stabbed him, and he died. So, you know, this fire over him, he wouldn't burn. He just wouldn't burn. You know, John, who was sent to the Isle of Patmos, the folklore or the, you know, history says that he was sent there because they couldn't kill him. They tried boiling him in oil twice, and he wouldn't die. So they figured the best thing they could do was isolate him, put him on a desolate island, Patmos, where he has no influence whatsoever to anybody. He can't get around. He's 90 something years old. You know, we can't burn him in oil, boil him in oil, so we'll send him to Isle of Patmos. We'll isolate him, separate him, and he won't be able to do any damage at all. So he goes and writes Revelations. That's just poetic justice, don't you think? He goes and writes Revelations, and the words that he speaks, he dictates from what Jesus, you know, that book of Revelations is Jesus's letter to the church, right? It's not John's. He just dictated it. He said that it was his writings to the church. So the last book that we have is the letters of Jesus to the church, is the letter of Revelations to the church, written by Jesus, written by John, but dictated by Jesus. So you've got Peter, you got James, you got John, you know, you got all of these people, you got Paul, and you got Jesus have written letters to the church. How can we go wrong? You know, so they shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Shall lay hands on the sick in an active voice to put or lay hands on. So it's pretty simple. The Greek for that is to lay hands. They shall lay hands on the sick. And what do? We set the captives free. What do? We heal the brokenhearted. What do? We bind up the wounds of those who are bleeding, right? And they shall recover. That's a good one, isn't it? By the power of God, they recover. So we go out into a banged up world and we preach the kingdom of God. We teach people about kingdom principles so that they can operate in the kingdom of God without hindrance because of lack of knowledge and understanding. And they set the captives free. And then it says in 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs following. With signs following. So we go up to people and we say, I'm going to bring you into the kingdom of God with a whole lot of words. I'm going to bring you into the kingdom of God with 1,500 talks. It doesn't work like that. The kingdom of God is with power. You know, Paul said in Romans, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, right? It's not in these natural things. It's not in do's and don'ts. It's not in any of that stuff. But it's in righteousness. It's in it's actually in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness is the first pillar. Doing things God's way, righteousness, best practices in kingdom principles, righteousness. That's what righteousness is, doing things the right way, best practices in the kingdom of God. First get them right, figure out best practices, right? And then peace will follow and joy. Peace because you're working in best practices and you're not getting harassed by the enemy. Right, the enemy is being vanquished and smashed up, banged up, chewed up and spat out in your life, and you've got peace. Peace from lack of chatter. You know, I speak to people, I pray for them, I lay hands on them. One of the major things they say is, Tom, in the past week or so, I've had like a clear mind. I've had no crazy thoughts running around. Like I've had to fight against these thoughts and these ideas. They're not there anymore. Where did they go? I said, well, they were voices from the enemy, and they were trying to transform your mind into something that was against the kingdom of God. They were trying to bring you captive. They were trying to get you to partner with, come into agreement with those voices so that you could be lost, so that they could build a doctrine of devils in you, so that you could be bound up with lies and misconceptions of the kingdom of God. But no longer do you have these voices, therefore you've got peace. And who have you got in your head now? You just got God and yourself. That's not bad. So you haven't got that third input, which is the enemy. And I say to them, if you keep praying, seeking God, that those voices will stay away. And they might pop up every now and then, but you'll be able to say go and they'll go. And that's one of the major things people say, is that I've got peace. And it's peace that passes all understanding. It's like peace. There's no war inside me anymore. There's peace. You know, when the Second World War finished, people were jumping around because they knew they didn't have to do all this horrible stuff. They didn't have to, you know, sacrifice their whole life to the war effort. You know, when you've got peace, you don't have to sacrifice your thoughts and your energies to the war effort, because God has destroyed the enemy in you. He has stopped the voices or the thoughts. And every time they come back, you take captive every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. and you cast it down. You take authority of every thought that is not in the kingdom, that is not lined up with the kingdom, and you purposely cast it down with violence. In the name of Jesus, I don't want those thoughts in my head. I command them to go. In the name of Jesus, I take kingdom authority over that song that's playing over and over and over in my head. And I say, go now, because it is unedifying and is not part of the kingdom of God. And my mind is the mind of Christ. And I'm filled with the presence and the knowledge of Jesus. And I speak unto those songs and those voices, go in the name of Jesus. And they go. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. It's no good trying to just pretend they're not there and just ignore them and ignore them. It's like having people next door who are crazy and they have parties all night and you ignore them. They're just going to have the parties. You know, you have to do something about it. You have to go to the authorities and you have to say to the authorities, listen, you need to go to these guys at 3 a.m, you need to go and call the police and you need to do something with this. Well, we call the authority of Jesus Christ over those voices and those harassing thoughts, right? And we go after them with ferocity. You know, we maintain peace in our life. And any time thoughts and ideas that are not of the kingdom, we cast them down. Now, some people say, well, I've done that. I get tired of that. Well, it's because you're living in a place where they can dwell. You need to get rid of them. You know, when you get rid of mosquitoes out of your house, you put blinds on there so they can't come back. When you get flies out of your house, you put blinds on. I mean, you could just live where the flies just keep flying in and you have to spray them or chase them out, and then they come in, spray them and chase them out, and they come in, spray them and chase them out. You can do that, but you'll wear out real quick. The idea is to, when you've got garbage, the rats are there. You get rid of the rats and the garbage, and the rats won't come back, right? Get rid of the garbage. You shore up everything where nothing can come in. You shut all of the portals, all of the entry points. And, you know, you have entry points. There's an ear gate, there's an eye gate, okay? You know, these things, what you hear and what you see are very important because they actually open doors. They open doors. You know, this whole world is geared around opening doors. When you hear songs and, you know, I could go on and on about that particular thing. At this particular time, it's not the right way to go because you probably need to get full of God before we can start talking about heavy-duty stuff. Paul said in Hebrews, he said, I would love to speak to you about greater things, but you are unable to receive them because, number one, you're babies in the Lord, you know, and you haven't even learnt the first principles of Christ, which you'll read in Hebrews chapter 6, which is repentance from dead works, the first one. But you can read all of those, there's only 7 of them, you read them, and you can study them and realize, do you do those things? Do you know them? Do you understand them? If you, these are the principles of Christ, the first principles. So if you don't know them, how can you go on to anything else? My job is to show you that there is a better life, that there is a life of dynamic power in the kingdom of God. And my job is to, in some way, get a hold of you, lay hands on you, and see the kingdom of God manifest in your life. That's my job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to, be your guru or anything like that. All we are is to plug you into the kingdom of God. That's our job. That's it. That's all our job is. I don't want to be your absolute and full mentor. I don't want to be your great guru person, Mr. Wise of person, or whatever you want to call me. People ring me up all the time, and they're very happy. They love us. They say, look, we're so happy. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Donna. And we say thank you. We appreciate that. But we always plug them back into God. And, you know, quickly they realize that the glory, all the joy, all the goodness comes from God. And they don't get into the hero worship in any way. We're happy about that. We don't want anybody to do any you know, wonderfulness to us. All we want is people to be set free. That's all we want, is see people free. And we spent 6 years, what we would call paying the price. We just laid ourselves on the altar and said, God, burn up all the junk in our life so we can get our brothers and sisters free. That's all we did. And we're just telling everybody else, go and do the same stuff. Right? And, you know, somebody's been doing this for 2,000 years somewhere on the earth, in the annals of history. Somebody has been doing it. Groups of people have been doing it. The kingdom of God hasn't fallen over and come to a dead halt. People are being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized properly, and they've been walking along. But you know, in these last days, God is raising up an army. It's not just pockets here and pockets there, but he's raising up a mighty, mighty army that his glory will fill the earth. And I want people to understand that you're being pressed into action by the kingdom of God, and you're going to be raised up as a mighty army to go out and set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, and to harvest the souls of men. That's the end game, is to harvest the souls of men so that we can fill the kingdom of God with saints, and we can have a reward for the effort that we've done. And God can stand before us. Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you, not what you thought you should do. There's a difference, a big difference. So we'll just leave that there.
So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, then just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.